God is good. God is very good. Amen. Can you just raise your hands one more time, church? Let's celebrate the goodness of God. We bless you, Jesus. You're worthy of honor and glory. We welcome you to this place. We welcome you, Lord. Father, to the very thoughts and the intentions of our heart here this morning. Father, for when we are in your presence, there is fullness of joy. We thank you, Father, that you have declared a blessing over the people of God. We reach out to you this morning, Lord, and we say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your presence in my life. Thank you for your word over my life, over my home, over my family, over all that I set my hands to do. For I am a child of the Most High King. And we thank you for that, Lord. We declare the goodness of God in the land of the living, in the house of God this morning. And we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you love Jesus, say amen. Amen. You may be seated. This Thanksgiving has been a special one for me. I had both of my boys, my daughter, and all of the grandkids in the house this Thanksgiving. And one of the things that really blessed me was my five-year-old grandson came in. And just a little bit of a backstory on it, I have this little song that I sing to my grandkids. It's kind of lighthearted. It goes something like this. It says, I love you, a bushel and a peck. How many of you know it? A bushel and a peck and a... And then we repeat it, neck, neck, neck. And, you know, that works even over the phone, you know, when they're not, when we're not in the same room. And most of the time, they'll finish the song just like you did. But what was really fun this Thanksgiving is my five-year-old grandson came in the door and he said, Papa, guess what? I love you, a bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck, 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 neck. And I was just thinking about that. You know, the Bible declares that you and I can sow in a time of famine and reap a hundredfold. But when the famine comes and everything else looks around, you look around and it just doesn't make sense to your heart and to your head, you really need to hear that voice that says, Peter, Papa, I love you, a bushel and a peck, right? And when we hear that, then our heart, it's easier for our heart to believe that I can sow in this time of famine. Not because of anything necessarily that I know or that I do, but because the Papa has declared it over your life and over mine. Amen. Do you believe it, church? These are tough times. How many of you could just could take a little song from heaven and just say, put your name in there, I love you, right? And take it to heart and believe that because God has placed you and I in this season, that there must be something that he knows that we haven't got our full grasp around. But when we do, that our hearts will declare, I refuse this famine. I choose to believe that my God is still good in 2020 up until the very last of the year. And that I am going to be looking for the goodness of God in this land while I'm still living. And that I'm going to take him at his word and leave the rest to him. I want to be encouraged. I want to be that living representation of the goodness of God in Kodiak. I think we should pray about this whole COVID thing over Kodiak. I think there's enough faith in the room here that would that could obliterate COVID in Kodiak. Is there anybody here? Amen. We're going to pray in just a second. But the blessing of heaven comes in our relationships. It comes in our homes and our families. The goodness of God has the capacity to bless the work of your hands and mine. And in that blessing, there are those around us. There are those in this community that you and I have been assigned to for this season. And they need to see a tangible goodness of God in their life. And I we're all going to be held accountable, right? Pastor preached on that recently. And I want to be able to go before the Father and say, Lord, I did what I knew, and you helped me in my time of need. And I'd just like to pray that over you right now. And I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. This is a giving church. I'm preaching to the choir by and large. But we need to hear it sometimes, right? But we want to invoke, we want to position ourselves in the eyes of our Father, that He would just be able to bless us and that we would know what to do with it and that it would make a difference in not only our homes and our lives, but in our community. So, Father, that's our prayer here this morning. Father, we thank you that your word is the same today as the day it was very spoken, the day that it was declared, the day, Lord, that it was committed into writing. And we thank you, Father, for today, this day, Lord, as your people in Kodiak, Father, we need that word to be solid within our hearts and within our spirits. Father, that the light of heaven is greater than any darkness from the very pits of hell. And we speak that light and we speak that life over our homes, over our families. And today, Father, we agree for our community, Kodiak, Alaska, that the light of heaven would shine over this place, over this city, and over this island. That the people of God, Father, that our faith would rise up and that the declarations of our mouths, the declarations of our lips, Father, would be consistent, Father, with your word. And so, Lord, we just release that now over this city, over this island, over this congregation, over those that are watching online right now. We release that your goodness over it, and we agree with that declaration that, Father, that not only in our lives, but, Father, those who we know, who we live with, who we work with, Father, that your light would be within us. So, Lord, we thank you for that word. We thank you for that declaration. Father, help us this day to stand upon your word, to find peace and comfort in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the honor and the privilege that we have in this country, the United States of America, that this morning we are able to gather together as brothers and sisters and be able to lift the name that is above all other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is enough to celebrate this morning, that we are able to do that. Somebody paid the price so that we can enjoy the freedom that we have in this country. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving for those who are watching online. I hope you had a great time with friends and family, right? Very important to remember that during this time of great testing. Lots of good food, hopefully. Amen. Right? Lots of laughs. Absolutely. I don't know about you, but memes have been such a source of amusement for me during those challenging times. And here's one. Here's one that was created by Kyler right here. Not too long ago, in February, when we were still social, where we could still go and meet people and give people hugs and all that stuff that we normally would be doing. That was back then when we did that. And here we are now. I'm sure you can tell the darker one is me. The little shorter, darker one is probably me on the side. But the good news is that we're still laughing. We're still having a good time because God is on the throne. Amen. Amen. And I've got another one. Yeah. Me too, bacon. Me too. And another one. Another one. Oh. I hope no one is challenged with numbers this morning. If you are, you'll catch up a little bit. We'll let that sink in a little bit. I hope our faces won't be like this one when the clock rolls over. It's going to be over. God is still going to be on the throne. We're going to finish this year strong. Amen. Amen. We believe that God, the good work that God has begun in us in 2020, we're going to finish strong. For God is going to get all the glory. Amen? Because it's not about us. It's about what He can do. So what do these memes have to do with my message? Absolutely nothing. The title of my message this morning is Gratitude Brings You Home. What a wonderful word, yeah? Home. Whenever you hear home, I told Dawn when they were creating this picture last night, I said, home reminds me of cookies. Cookies. So I'm hoping when I go home after service, there will be some cookies at home. Last night, Dawn baked an absolutely wonderful cake, a recipe of Stephen Furtick, his wife, of course. There's got to be a woman behind this type of recipe. It was amazing. So I'm hoping I get home. we'll come up with another recipe of some chocolate chip cookies. the only kind that's good. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Hallelujah. This morning we'll go over the story of 10 lepers, 10 outcasts. This account here in Luke chapter 17, it's a story of those 10 lepers, and it's not found anywhere else in the gospel. Luke is the only place where you will find it, probably for the reason that Luke was a doctor, and he was attracted to the physical healing of the people. When Jesus walked around and healed the sick, he recorded those miracles. And that is one of the stories that is only recorded there in the book of Luke. And before we start, let me give you a little bit of background of that story. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's passing through Samaria, a region that most Jews would actually avoid. And we've gone over a lot of stories in the Bible. The woman by the well, for example, where Jesus found a way to go through Samaria intentionally to meet that woman. But here, Jesus is also intentional about his journey, going through Samaria, in between Galilee and Samaria, and meeting those 10 lepers. I believe Jesus had an appointment with those 10 lepers. Now, 2,000 plus years ago, leprosy was probably the worst kind of disease anyone could actually contract and have, right? There was no cure for leprosy. And the physical ramification of leprosy were terrible. People will lose the feelings of on their extremities, their fingers, their nose, their limbs, and they would actually lose those body parts. They would actually rot away. Atrocious disease, leaving sores and all kinds of terrible things to the human body. Even in our day and age, with all the medical knowledge that we have, it's still a horrible disease. Still terrible. Especially when there's not a lot of hope or medical aid that you can have to provide for those people that are suffering from such a disease. I believe it is impossible to fathom what it was like 2,000 years ago. Those people had no hope. They were really the outcasts. And back in those days, those who were sick with leprosy were set apart or quarantined for a long period of time, while those who were still in good health were allowed to function, had normal lives. They would go about their business. What a concept, right? What a concept. When you allow the strong, the healthy, to keep functioning, keep doing business as usual, while you take care and you focus your attention on those who are needy. What a concept. Here in Luke chapter 17, we start reading in verse 11. And it says this: "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, as he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted their voice and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, and he said to them, 'Go show yourself to the priests.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who return to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. As we dive into your word this morning, Lord God, let your word come alive and let your word minister to us, Lord God. We are open for you. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right from the onset, I want you to know that Jesus did not pray for them. Jesus did not lay hands on them. He saw them. He acknowledged them. But he did not lay hands on them. He simply gave them an instruction. Sometimes that's all we need, right? Amen. God giving us a word. And at his word, we respond and we move and we obey. Whatever that word might be, right? That's faith. Causing us to move. Causing us to respond to what the word of the Lord is instructing us to do. I believe in the time that we're living in right now, The word that we keep hearing for the body of Christ is to be bold, to pray, to not shy away from the truth of the word of God, to weed out anything that is from the enemy, to use the spirit of discernment that we all have as believers to be able to stand on something that is unshakable, something that cannot be compromised, and that is the word of God. When we make a stand, when we choose, it's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice that you and I, we have, that we must make on a daily basis to say that I will stand boldly on this word of God that cannot be shaken. Because this word of God is transparent. It's a mirror. When we look at the word of God, we are hoping that we will see a reflection of what is inside right here. So whatever we're feeding ourselves, the word of God, we are hoping when we're looking at the word of God, we not only get the direction, the word that is leading and guiding us, we're able to see what the Holy Spirit is speaking to the body. What instruction is God giving to this body in this day and time? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to where the Spirit of the living God is living. And this place is called the church. This place is called the church. Not made of bricks and mortar. The church is you and me. So there is such an importance in us fellowshipping with one another. Not forsaking the assembly of the brethren. That's what we're supposed to do as believers. The instruction that Jesus gave to the 10 lepers was simple. Go, show yourself to the priests. Now, according to Levitical law, if you were healed from leprosy, you had to show yourself to the priests, showing evidence of your healing. You had to go and show proof that you were healed. The priest will check you out. The priest will take a look at where your soul. Show me. Show me proof that you are indeed healed. The priest had the final say on whether or not you were indeed clean or unclean. I'm so glad that today this responsibility is no longer on the priest or the pastor. Can you imagine in the time that we're living in right now where I have to be the one to certify, to check you out, to see whether or not you were clean, acceptable back into the society where you can go and function as a human being once again? Thank God that responsibility is no longer upon me, a pastor. Now for those 10 lepers, it took some level of faith. Wouldn't you agree? It took a level of faith to simply take Jesus at his word, left without any physical sign of healing on their body. They just took Jesus' word and said, I believe it. I might as well just go. I've been standing on the side of the road for a long time. And here comes Jesus. And he says, go, I'm going. And the word says that as they went, they were cleansed. They had faith to believe and the courage to obey. I believe, church, is coming a time where you and I, we need to have the faith to believe and the courage to stand and obey. And obey. Even when we don't see the physical sign of what we believe in God for. We just trust God and we take Him at His word. And we move in the direction that He's calling you and I to move in. So what is the word that God has given to you? Even as we're wrapping up 2020.
Remember, that was January 2020. When we talk about vision, right? When we talk about the plans that we have for 2020, God has not gone silent on those plans. When something is delayed, that doesn't mean God is denied. A delay is not a denial for God. There's a time on things. There's a time on things. God might just be waiting for us to just take Him as His word and be on our way. To go out boldly and do what He's called you and I to do. Even though we don't see the physical manifestation of what we believe in God for. That is faith. Courage is taking this faith and stepping out boldly and doing what is called us to do. So they left. And as they were on their way, they were cleansed. But there is one. There's always one, isn't it? There's always one pastor that stands out among a whole bunch. There's always somebody like Peter that would stand out among others. There's always one of us that will not go with the status quo. There's always one that will stand out. And there's one leper here that came back. We don't even know his name. No one knows him. All we know is that he's a Samaritan, a foreigner. The question here today is this. Why did he come back? Why did he come back? First of all, we got to eliminate the obvious, right? Let's eliminate the obvious. I'm sure you're already thinking about it. He was a Samaritan. He was not of your traditional Jewish faith. Samaritans were despised by the Jews. As a Samaritan, he was not allowed in the temple. So how could he go and show himself to the priests? Now that would be the obvious reason, right? But here's the real reason. I think we already heard it here. He discovered something called gratitude. Gratitude. He discovered gratitude. Gratitude goes beyond just being thankful. Gratitude is a Christ-centered position that as a child of God, as a believer, I have made a decision to give God thanks in and through every single circumstance, whether good, whether bad, whether 2020. Because I believe 2020 would fall on a separate category just by itself. Through every circumstance, you've made a decision to be Christ-centered in your position where you can remain unshakable. You made a Christ-centered position where you stand and say, you know what? No matter what comes my way, I have made a decision to stand on the Word of God. I've made a Christ-centered position on my stance that I will remain faithful to the promise of my God. When you stay in that position, you go beyond just being thankful. You step into a new realm, a realm of being grateful. From this place, nothing that the enemy can send your way can shake you, can break you. Because you made a stand that I'm going to stand on the word of God. I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. Gratitude will always bring you back home. Amen. Those cookies. Gratitude will bring you back home. Gratitude will bring you back to your Christ-centered position, where you belong with Jesus, back to God. The leper was thankful for his healing, just like the others. I believe the others were also thankful. But gratitude drew that one leper back to God. Gratitude brought it back home. This morning we'll look at three aspects of this kind of gratitude that we can draw from this story right here of those 10 lepers. Where that one made a decision to go back home and occupy that Christ-centered position. The first one is gratitude produces hope beyond hope. For you note takers, that would be a great place to actually write this down. Gratitude produces hope beyond hope. Now concerning leprosy, I am certain that the physical pain of such a disease is far beyond what words could describe, right? But even more so, can you imagine the emotional and psychological pain of such a disease? A leper would be removed from his family, from his community, from his friends. There would be no contact. There's a word that we hear a lot these days. There would be no contact whatsoever with his wife, with his family, with his children, with his grandchildren. As a matter of fact, according to the Jewish law, a leper would have to announce, listen to this, a leper will have to announce in public that he was unclean. That he was unclean. He would walk around in the community coming through, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine the shame? Can you imagine the shame of such a person walking by claiming to be unclean so that everybody else can pull aside? No contact, no contact. This person is unclean. His livelihood would be taken away from him. He will no longer be able to support his family. His only source of income would be what he would get from begging, from standing out in the marketplace. They would have spots where they would be at, where they would actually congregate and ask for alms, for food, because they could not provide for themselves or their family anymore. They would be removed from society completely. A leper was sentenced to live this way without even the hope of a miracle. I believe that day Jesus gave all 10 of them something called hope. Hope. Hope of restoration. Hope of simply going back home. Here's that word again. Just going back home to be with their families. But something was different about that leper who came back. I believe he was not just satisfied with just going home. I believe he came back because he was not satisfied with just being healed. He was grateful for his healing, but he was looking for something more. He was looking for hope beyond hope.
You see, it's easy to be hopeful when things are going your way. When everything is going right, we can be hopeful. We can have a song about it. We can be all chirpy and smile and come to church and see friends and family. We are hopeful. But what happens when that hope is taken away? Where we are no longer able to do this? Can we still be hopeful? Or does it take an extra step of faith to believe in hope against all hope? Even when we hear that this winter is going to be without hope, things are going to go south, there's no hope for any type of recovery, there's any hope for any kind of medical intervention, there's no hope for God to show up. But here in the Word of God, the only place of hope, we can go and stand on the Word that says that there is hope. There is a reason for us to hope. Hope beyond hope is hoping when there is no reason to hope. That's what we're looking for. That's why the leper went back to Jesus. He was happy to be healed. He was happy to be restored, to go back to his home, to his family. But he was looking for something else, something a little bit deeper. Because he knows that he could be hopeful in times where everything is going right. But he's anticipating when things don't go right. Things don't always go right. Right? Yeah. They don't. We live in a world where things don't go our way. Not all the time. But when we are anchored in Him, we can have hope beyond hope. Just like Abraham in Romans 4:18. It says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. He believed there was no reason for him to hope, but he kept hoping and believing that he would become the father of many nations. You know why? He heard God. God gave him a promise that he will become the father of many nations. At the age of 90, when there was no hope of him ever becoming the father of a multitude, he believed. He hoped against all hope that he will become the father of many nations because he stood on the word of God. He stood on the promise. He stood on something that was greater beyond what he knew in the natural. He stood on something supernatural. So what are you standing on this morning? What promise are you standing on this morning that is beyond what you can imagine in all your natural sense? It goes against everything that you know in the natural sense. It doesn't even make sense what you believe in God for. You believe in God for a supernatural healing where everybody else is telling you, I'm sorry, buddy. This is something you're just going to have to deal with for the rest of your lives. And you say, no. I'm trusting my God. I'm believing by faith that my God says that by His stripes, I'm healed. I'm standing on that word. And I refuse to believe the lies of the enemy. That's a bold stand, right? This is exactly what the Holy Spirit is requiring of the church. In this time, in this season that we're living in, God is requiring the church to step up to a new level of boldness. Where we can teach and preach the uncompromising word of God without having to apologize for it.
never have to apologize for the truth, right? It is. It could stand all by itself. So we need to start preaching and teaching this uncompromising word of God, no matter what. No matter what. It's a bold stand sometimes. It's so easy to go the opposite way, where you can easily compromise so that you can fit in. God has not called you and I to fit in. We are called to stand out. Amen. To stand out for what we believe, for what we want God to do in our life, in our nation. This one leper who came back stood out. Can you imagine the conversation on the road with the other nine lepers? Probably, buddy, what are you doing? We've been given an instruction to go to show ourselves to the priest. Why would you be heading back? No. I got to go back. There's something else there. I got to go back. No. Come on. Let's go. Everybody's heading to Jerusalem. We got to go pray. No. I must head back. Because something inside of me is telling me to do that. It's the Holy Spirit. That is the voice that needs to be louder in our lives. It's the voice that is telling us sometimes to stand up. To go against the flow sometimes. This is called standing for what we believe. Being bold about what we believe. Even if sometimes it makes us very unpopular. But at the end of the day, when we stand face to face with our master, he's not going to say, "Well done, my popular pastor." No, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." At the end of the day, this is all that we want to hear. But at the end of the day, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something to stand boldly and actually put some movement to what we are talking about here. We can't just talk about something week after week, giving people goosebumps and getting people excited. But then when it comes to time to stand, we concede. We retreat. We back away. God is calling us to stand boldly, to stand firm on His word, just like this leper. He went against the flow, went back to Jesus. That when there was no reason to hope, he believed. He believed. You might be here today and you've lost hope. You've lost hope. You've tried everything that you know, but nothing seems to work. You've lost hope in your family, in your health, in your finances. But I'm here to tell you that as long as Christ is the center of your gratitude, you're grateful to Him. Because you only answer to Him after all, right? You're grateful to Him. You can have hope beyond hope. Because that hope is never dependent upon your circumstances. Not dependent upon what people say about you. The only word that matters is what God is saying about you. And if you let that be the compass, the direction, is what my Father is saying about me. What is that last time when He spoke to me and He gave me a direction? That's all I need. I'm going to use that last direction that I got from God, and I'm going to follow that, and I'm going to trust that.
Nothing is over unless God says it is. I'm going to say this again. Nothing is over until God says it is. That's the reason why we never concede to the enemy. That's the reason why we never concede to the enemy when God is saying, it's not over. It's not over. You're still in this fight. You keep hoping. You keep believing. You keep praying. The Word of God in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this. Never stop. Right? Never stop praying. Never stop praying. Don't quit praying. You know, I heard a pastor mention that the other day. He said, sometimes we have more faith in the hot water heater than we do in prayer. Anybody, you got hot water heater, right, in your house? You know what I'm talking about. When you open up the hot water heater and you put your hands and you get a little bit of water, do you immediately get hot? The water comes out hot? Or is it at, like at my house? You open it up and you got to wait a little bit, right? Or do you just turn off the hot water heater tap the moment when you feel cold? Do you do that? Or you wait, right? Because you know, what do you know? It's coming up. The hot water is coming. You sit there, you wait until it comes. You wash your hands and you move on, right? Why would we treat prayer differently? We're praying. It didn't come the moment we turn on the tap, but then we walk away. Oh, I guess that's not what God wants me to do. It's not God's will, and we walk away from prayer. The Word of God says, never stop praying. Keep praying until you believe that you will receive what God has promised you. If God, as you pray, God gives you a new direction, you take it. But don't stop praying. Keep praying until you hear the voice of God. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Is it God's will for you to pray? Absolutely. It says so right here. Is it God's will for you to be thankful in all circumstances? Absolutely. It says so right here. That's God's will, is for you to pray and to be thankful. That's why the leper went back. He went back because he wanted to believe God for something beyond just hope of restoration. He wanted something else. Number two, gratitude produces worship. Worship. In verse 15, he says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, talking about that one leper, went back, returned, and listen to this, with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan, but he found God. He returned to him and with a loud voice fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. I believe he ran back to Jesus, not because of what happened on the outside. He was physically heal on the outside, but I believe he ran back to Jesus because something happened on the inside of him. Something that was way too powerful for him to bottle that inside of him. So he ran back to Jesus to physically, verbally express his gratitude. Isn't that what worship is about? Isn't that what we just did this morning as we opened up service? Something was happening on the inside, Ursula. Something was going on the inside that must be expressed
on the outside. Outwardly, physically, verbally, loudly. Now, if we take this a little step further, the guy that was healed was excited. He was excited. He had to express that excitement in the way that is just described in this passage right there. But let me ask you this question. Was it scriptural that he expressed his gratitude in such a manner? Was it scriptural that he threw himself down on the floor, he knelt down, and he shouted with a loud voice, glorifying God? The answer is yes. Very scriptural. Very scriptural. I believe you would do the same thing if today you were miraculously healed. You would not be silent. I'm sure you will. You might even look like a fool if something miraculously happened in your life right here, right now. I want you to take a look at what the Bible says about the word praise. In scripture, there are nine words, and we're going to show that on the screen. Nine Hebrew words that describe praise. For today, we're going to look at probably just five of them. Okay? For the sake of time, we probably won't have time to go through all nine of them. The first Hebrew word is toda. A thanksgiving choir. How about that? You come in and you're praising God, and there's a thanksgiving choir behind you. The second word is barak, means to kneel in thanksgiving. The third word is tehillah, to sing a song of thanksgiving. Now it's pronounced tehillah, okay? Not tequila. Now you might be singing a totally different kind of song if tequila is involved, but this is tequila. Right, Kyler? The other word is yada, to give thanks with extended hands. And the last one is halal, to give thanks by being clamorously foolish.
Thank you, Jason.
That's halal right there, just in case you didn't know that. That's a halal.
Hallelujah.
To give thanks by being clamorously foolish. By the way, that's where we get the word hallelujah. That's the same place where we get the word hallelujah. How do we say hallelujah in Spanish? Hallelujah! There you go, I spoke some Spanish. Now, four of those five words are found together in one single Bible verse. It's a little Bible trivia right now. Any guess where that would be? In one single Bible verse in the Bible, all of those four words are found in just one. Any guess? Yeah. You're on the right track. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 4. We got it on the screen. And all of you are familiar with that. But that's what he's talking about in terms of praise. That's why this guy, this leper, came in and acted the way that he did. Totally scriptural. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Toda. A thanksgiving choir. And into his courts we praise. Tehillah. to sing a song of thanksgiving. Be thankful, yada. Give thanks by with extended hands to him and bless Barak to kneel in thanksgiving to his name. That's why it's not weird when you come to church and you worship him in the way that you do, by raising your voice, because something is happening on the inside. That's why it's not weird when you come to church and your hands are up in the air and you're worshiping God, or you're falling down on your face, tears are running down your face as you're worshiping God, because something is happening on the inside. Why did the leper go back? Because something was happening on the inside. And he could not bottle that up. He could not go along with the other nine lepers. He stood out and he went back to Jesus. Forget the priests. I'm going to the high priest. I'm going to the high priest. I believe he was tired of watching from the sidelines. He wanted to enter in and encounter God. Friends, we don't have to shy away from entering in and having an encounter with God. Aren't you tired of being sometimes on the sidelines and not going in, watching all others going in and entering into God's presence, and you're standing on the sidelines, not being able or not feeling that you are accepted to God in such a way? Not too long ago, my mom gave her life to Christ. Well, it's actually a little bit long ago. It's a little while ago. I was still in England. And over the phone, reached out to my mom and witnessed to her, told her what God was doing inside of me. There was something happening inside of me. It was too powerful to bottle that in. I needed to share. I needed to reach out and tell somebody about what God was doing. So I reached out to my mom, a Hindu at the time, like I was. Reached out to her and explained to her, this is what God is doing, Mom. And it's also for you, for Dad, for all the rest of our family. There is freedom here. There's a freedom that I've received in Christ because I've decided to make a stand for what I believe now. I believe in Jesus. Reached out to my mom, and after several times, several chat that we had over the phone, she finally mustered up some courage to step into a church similar to our church right now. She told me afterwards that after our conversation, or many conversations, she would actually go walk by that church, but never had the courage to walk in. She would walk and she would hear worship going on inside. She never felt like she would be accepted. I don't know if you've ever been in such a place where you did not feel accepted, that you could not worship freely. Back where I come from, worshiping God like the way we are even now doesn't come as freely. You get persecuted for what you believe. I remember after my mom received Christ, and shared this a few times, but for those who have never heard this, my mom was beaten up for what she stood for. She went and spent 3 days in the hospital because she made a stand for what she believed. So this is why when I'm in this country where I can actually freely and openly worship God in the way that you and I, we can, never once do I want to take this for granted. So, but one day, my mom mustered up enough courage
And she walked in during worship. And she told me that it was never the same. It was never the same. Her walk with God was lifted up to a new dimension. Such is the power of worship. This leper right here was an outcast. Probably never felt that he would belong or would be accepted back to God. He was a foreigner, coming from a different type of faith, where people would actually put them as outcasts with no hope of ever being restored. But once he was restored, once he was healed, he went back to the master and said, now I've got hope, but I want to be able to hope beyond hope. And I don't want to stop here. I want to be able to enter in and worship you. I don't want to hear, I don't want to just sing a song. I want to have an encounter with him, the master. So when we are worshiping God, we're worshiping him as an audience of one. That's why it doesn't bother us that when we look around, so-and-so is not raising their hands or they're not worshiping in this way that we are. It doesn't matter. God is doing something on the inside of you and me that we cannot bottle that thing in. We must express it in such a way. So is it scriptural to bless God, to glorify God, maybe even in a foolish manner? Absolutely. Look at me. I look pretty foolish up here. But it doesn't matter. Because God has done something on the inside of me that cannot be bottled in. So in the last days, God is looking up for such believers that will worship him in such a way that we will make a decision to be bold about what we believe and to express our love and our gratitude to him in such a way. If you were one of these lepers right there and somehow God miraculously healed you, believe me, that would be you. That would be you. When you were outcast from your family, from your community for years, and then one day, Jesus walked by. Jesus walked by one day and you met him. Believe me, you would do exactly that. Why did the leper go back? He got a little taste of the glory that surrounds Jesus. And he went to him to express that back to him and saying, Jesus, you've healed me, you've restored me, but I want something more. I want something for tomorrow when something is not going to go my way. That's why we come to church. That's why we fellowship with one another. Because there will come a time where I would need Peter. There will come a time when I would need Doug. There will come a time where I would need to call somebody else. Would you pray for me? Would you believe God with me? We are meant to live in community. To live in fellowship with one another. The Word of God says, do not forsake the assembly. Do not forsake the assembly. The leper went back because God was doing something on the inside. Then finally, gratitude produces new life. New life is produced when you are grateful to what God is doing in your life. Why did the leper go back? He was not satisfied with his old life. He was not satisfied with his old life. I want you to pay attention to verse 19. Jesus said, arise. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. The important word here is well. The Greek, from the Greek translated word, it's sozo. The same word that you will find in Romans 10:13. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here Jesus was saying, go home, you are saved. Go home, you have eternal life. The leper became a new man, filled with new life. In John 10:10, Jesus points out a thief. A thief. Today there's a thief. There is a thief. It's the enemy. The enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We see it in our lives. We see it in our nation. We see it in our community. There is an enemy. The enemy does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said this, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it, the life, more abundantly. More abundantly. There is abundant life that awaits the believer, the one that will make us stand for what they believe in. Abundant life that is not dependent on any circumstances, that is not dependent on anything that happens all around us, that is not dependent upon politics. There is a life that can only be found in Jesus. It's time that we go back to Him. Why did the leper go back? New life. Would you please stand? Friends, I believe that we can all identify with this leper in more ways than we know, more ways than one. And at some point in our life, while we stood on the side of the road, Jesus walked by. Jesus walked by and He stopped and He looked at you and He saw your need. You didn't even have to say a word. He saw your need and He met your need. Gave you eternal life. So this morning, that same Jesus that we read now in this story, that same Jesus is here. He's alive. And He wants to meet you right now. Where you are. Right where you are. The word of God says, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne room where you may receive grace, help in time of need. I believe this is a time of need. And Jesus is walking by and He stopped right here. At Oceans United this morning. Even for those who are watching online, I want you to stand up right where you are. Because Jesus right there is going to meet you in your living room, in your kitchen, in your dining room, right where you are, in your home. Jesus is there with you. I want you to raise your hands, and we can do it here as well.
Raising your hand is simply an act of surrender. It's you saying, Lord, I'm just surrendering to you. Lord, I'm telling you, have your way in my life. Come and meet me at my point of need. And I believe as I pray, there's going to be a supernatural release of anointing, of power, of healing, of anything that you would need of. I believe God will meet you right there. Whatever God has laid on your heart to believe for Him, I want you to bring that back to your spirit right now. Is it a healing in your body that you need this morning? In your mind? Is it a healing for somebody else that God is bringing to your memory, to your mind, to your spirit right now? I want you now to step in place of obedience. You've heard the Holy Spirit speak. Now you step into a place of obedience. When you step into that place, you would hear Him tell you something that He wants you to do.
Heard that word. Lord, we want to respond now to this prompting. We will take you at your word now in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of fear, the spirit of doubt right now in Jesus' name. We declare that the enemy is defeated and we refuse to concede to the enemy today, right now in Jesus' name. We declare that no weapon formed against us will prosper in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated just for a moment. Just for a moment. Then we're going to be released. For those who are watching us online, just stay put for just a moment. Jessica, would you give me that paper? There's that prayer topic. I want to bring your attention this week to stand and pray for our nation. We are believing God for something supernatural to happen this week. On our webpage, I'm going to post something. Probably to this evening. It's going to be exactly what I have in front of me. But I want you to pray for a spirit of peace over our nation. A spirit of peace. And I'm going to give you scriptures that I want you to stand and believe. Remember we said, now it's time to stand and be bold. Now it's time to stand and do something by being bold. I want you to pray for an honest and public discussion and truth in the media. I want you to pray for transparency and corruption to be exposed. I want you to pray for vigilance vigilance for those officials that are watching for the whole process of what's happening in our nation right now. And I want you to pray for wisdom for pastors and church leaders. I'm going to say this again. I want you to pray for wisdom for pastors and church leaders. There's coming a time where we might see a level of persecution that we've never encountered ever before. It is time for the body of Christ to rise up, to be bold, to believe God for the impossible, because our God is still on the throne. Amen. Oceans United, you're dismissed. For those who are watching us online, thank you for joining us. And please join us again next week as we begin a new series that would lead us to Christmas, where we will celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus. God bless you all.